If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Well, guys, we have a very special guest co-host today. It's someone you haven't heard from in a little bit, but she's always in our hearts. Gisele Bryant.
Yes, I'm so happy. I'm just right there in the middle of your heart, beating and beating and beating.
We're so happy to have you, Gisele.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, welcome back to the show. So there's been a lot going on since we last chatted with you. I think the biggest thing is Bravo's chat room. So talk a little bit about what that experience has been like working with some of the other women on the other shows.
Oh, man, it has been completely awesome. And just kind of like a breath of fresh air for me personally. You know, I super duper love Portia. I think she is just fun and funny. And in any given moment, you have no idea what's going to come out of her mouth, which I love. And Hannah is, you know, Hannah, I didn't know at all before we started chat room. And I didn't even know how we were going to connect, but she's so smart and witty, and she hangs in there. Like, she's right there with me and Portia. She's got her like quick witty things to say, and every now and again she just like says something and my mouth drops and I'm like, holy shit, there's Hannah.
I don't think you're alone in that.
You have to tell us, what was your reaction when you found out Hannah got engaged?
Oh my gosh, I was so excited. So, you know, Dez would pop into chat room like right before we would get started occasionally and seemed like a super nice guy, was always doting over Hannah, so supportive. So, you know, I'm like team Dez all the way. Mm-hmm. And then I started watching Summer House and I saw this whole, mm-hmm. you know, Hannah Luke debacle. And so then that made me feel even more like, go Dez, go. And then he put a ring on it. So I was extremely excited.
Well, I definitely want to get into the Dez, Luke, Hannah drama later when we talk about Summer House. Okay. So we'll get very into that. Okay.
Yes, yes. We'll put a pin in that one. Well, also some exciting news out of your cast. Ashley Darby had her second baby. Have you met Dylan yet?
Yes, I have. Okay. He is like the cutest, the sweetest. I think his little face is Ashley's face. Aww. And he's like, of course, he pops up, you know, typical Ashley. He pops up on the scene all the time with her. He's attached to her boob. And we're so used to Ashley with a baby attached to her boob, which I never thought I would be saying out of my mouth. But like Dylan is like, he doesn't make a sound. He's just so sweet. Absolutely sweet.
Is she more relaxed the second baby around?
Oh, yeah.
Or still like hyper crazy?
No. She's definitely mom mode on steroids, but in a great way. Like, she can now cuss you out, let the baby nurse and burp the baby, change the baby's diapers as she's still cussing you out, and it's all good.
And that's why we love her.
Yep.
Oh my God. So some huge news broke in the Real Housewives landscape yesterday, and that was the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trailer dropped. Have you watched it yet?
Have I watched it on repeat? Are you kidding me? I'm so excited. You know why I'm excited? And I have been a victim of kind of like not poo-pooing on Beverly Hills. I love Beverly Hills. I'm always watching. But you know, sometimes the arguments can be a little surface.
Tired.
Yes, they can be a little surface. So this trailer was like, whoa, they're really getting into what the things that we really care about. Like Erica, my fave, she's like talking about what's going on in her life. Obviously, she's making no bones about it. She's, you know, allowing the ladies, I think, to give their opinion a little bit. But, you know, that's the stuff that we want to see.
I just kept wondering what her reaction must have been when she saw that trailer. I mean, it was,
I know,
intense. And, you know, who's lying? Who's being played? You know, because you guys, what is it like for you as a Real Housewife? You don't really know what's coming. You know that you've shot the season, but you don't know how it's all going to be packaged. So when that super tease drops, what is that like for you?
It's always a little rumbling in the stomach before you press the button of the video. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're right. You never know how it's going to be portrayed, but you do know the super tease is drama no matter what. And you know, you film the season, you know what happened. But I always say, like, I never know what music they're gonna put behind how I said whatever I said. Because if it's like dun dun dun, then it's always never good. And that's typically what they do to me.
Right. Cause I guess, like, when you put certain music under certain sentences, it sounds like it could be one way when maybe it's the other, you know, you just never know.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you're just waiting for the world to see how it like really went down. But, you know, it's the beauty of the shows that we're on, and it is what it is. And let me tell you something. I cannot wait to watch Beverly Hills.
I know.
I'm sitting on pins
and needles. It does premiere on my birthday, May 19th. So I do feel like it's a gift to me personally, but I'll share it with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So sweet.
And I was actually, see, I thought that Kat was a housewife. I didn't know she was a friend. And then I saw, you know, she's not in the, what do you call it? She's not in the she's not
the diamond holding.
Yes, she's not doing that. So I'm curious to see how she's integrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that is very much probably a strategic Kathy move. Like, I just feel like she is someone who would never fully let the curtain let you in, you know?
Yeah.
I think that there's too much family secrets she wants to protect, maybe.
Yes.
In a good way.
Well, I mean, or, you know, I look at it like, look, just go ahead and do the doggone thing and just drop one secret a season. You know what I mean? And then yeah. You could be on forever.
Just one. That's it. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
Well, let's just say, you know, hypothetically, Giselle, there was a season of Real Housewives of Potomac filming at the moment. What would you say is, you know, the drama? Is there any tea that you would spill hypothetically?
Hypothetically, if Potomac was filming, it's always nice when we are filming, because it's nice to see the growth and development of the ladies, or not, because, you know, sometimes haters just continue to be haters. But, you know, God, if we were filming right now, I'm kind of thinking I would love to see some new people. Yeah.
A new face or two.
Yes.
Or three.
Yes. A new face or two, I think, would be what we need.
But that's a big if, right? That's just an if.
Huge if. Huge if.
And I hope we still would see some familiar faces as well, because I'm very attached to this cast. So, you know, there's got to be some, you know, familiar faces as well.
Yes, of course. I mean, I think that, you know, I didn't know. And I think one of you guys told us that we were like, we're the cast that has stayed together the longest.
Right. Yes.
Of the original people. And I think that helps to a little bit of our magic because we know each other. Like, I know if I say a certain thing to Karen or Ashley, she's going to lose it. And so, you know, that's what I do. I say those things.
I like that Karen was your first example because, you know, that just adds up.
Yes.
Well, while we're on the subject of Real Housewives, you know, it's getting nicer out. We're slowly coming out of isolation. And wanted to remind all the diehard Bravo fans out there that you should be catching up with friends over some Real Housewives wine.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. Bravo and Knocking Point have teamed up to create the official Real Housewives wine. And it comes in three varieties: red wine blend, Sauvignon Blanc, and rosé. What would your preference be, Giselle?
The red wine blend is my total favorite. I absolutely love it. I have a couple of bottles and I have been sipping.
Nice. Not gulping like some of us, Eric.
No, I have been sipping in my Bravo chat room glasses.
Nice.
Yes, I have.
Well, so if you're 21 and over, go to realhousewiveswine.com to order your own bottle.
All right, so let's figure out what we're going to be recapping today. So Giselle, with you here, we want to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We want to talk Summer House, like Megan mentioned earlier, and Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Love
it. Plus, we have an interview with Dr. Tiffany Moon from Real Housewives of Dallas.
By the way, I think she has been a great addition to that cast.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, if we ever get together again, like a BravoCon, I would like to meet Miss Tiffany.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I know. We talked about that in our interview, actually. She actually flew to New York the same weekend of BravoCon and ran into Brandi Redmond on the plane. And she was like, oh, Brandi, where are you going? And Brandi was like, BravoCon, where are you going? And she was like, I'm going to a medical conference. So not quite the same.
You guys, I was just watching the Real Housewives of Dallas reunion because virtually the whole reunion getting filmed. Tiffany really held her own, I have to say. I was very proud of her for her first reunion, but it was interesting, like listening to her whole experience with the rest of the housewives and like how she didn't feel totally welcomed by them. And that's such an experience that like you've never had to have, Giselle, just because you started with the Potomac franchise.
Yes.
And, you know, it's so interesting. It must be to watch new people come in and try to integrate and be friends and you guys already have such a tight-knit group.
Yeah, it's actually a tricky dance you got to do because, you know, you want to come in, you want to kind of make your mark, so to speak. And if you do that in a way that turns people off, then you can never kind of recover.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, before we get into this particular episode, Giselle, I would love your take on pretty much everything that's happened so far this season, particularly surrounding the South Carolina trip. You know, what are the rules? You know, like on a cast trip, cameras go down, something happens. Is it girl code? Is it housewives code? Not to talk about it?
This is so tricky. You know, no. You know, if you're on a cast trip, I'm sorry, everything is fair game. it just is what it is. If the cameras are rolling or not, it's fair game because you're on a cast trip. Now, that's just my personal opinion. Now, if we were filming, like, you know, our normal filming in the field and something happens off camera, that can potentially stay off camera. But a cast trip, It's 24/7, 365. I mean, it's like nothing is off the table. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Right.
When you saw all the stuff going down on that bachelorette trip, could the Potomac ladies ever get to that level of crazy and wild? Or is that just not in even the realm of possibilities?
It's just not. I mean, I'm just going to speak for myself. I can't speak for the other ladies, but these trips are hardcore. You're working, meaning cameras are up. It's like from 8 o'clock in the morning to, you know, the wee hours of the night. So for me, I know I have to go to sleep or I cannot get up and do that again the next day.
Yeah.
So I always kind of check out, and all the ladies know Giselle's checking out of here at like 10-ish. Just, I don't care what's going on. The house could be on fire. I don't care. I am going to bed. And so the other ladies, they stay up and they do their thing. And then they tell me about it the next day. So to answer your question, yes, that could all go down, but not with Giselle.
Giselle is asleep.
She's sleeping. She is counting. Yes.
We did kind of see, a dungeon party light last season when you guys had the dominatrix party.
Yes.
So, that was probably about your limit because Karen was like, I'm not dressing crazy. Like Candace showed up looking fantastic. You committed to a whole look. So we got like a lighter version of it,
Yes. And actually, because, we filmed that prior to this whole South Carolina trip. They put us to shame. Like I will never, because of the South Carolina trip, we can never have a sex party again. No one can top that. No one can top that. Okay.
Right. The bar has been set far too high at this point.
Yes. If it's anything sexual, nope, not happening.
No dungeon for Potomac.
No.
Okay. Well, let's get into this episode. So one of the first things I wanted to talk about is we find out that Mark is coming to Atlanta, and there's this discussion of whether or not he's going to stay with Kenya.
We didn't discuss like if he was staying with me or if he's going to be like in a hotel. Normally, if I go to New York, I stay at a hotel. Because I came here.
Giselle, for me, I'm very protective of Kenya. As controversial as she can be, there is a soft spot in my heart for her. So for me, I'm very protective. I'm like, she should not let Mark stay. I don't care if they're still technically married. There's just been so much drama between them. I'm like, he needs to just stay away from her, book a hotel or something. So where do you guys stand on this like tricky part of their relationship and whether or not Mark should be staying with Kenya when he comes to visit?
I'm right there with you. I'm completely protective of Kenya as well. I love Kenya. I think she's messy and she's great at her messy, but she's a wonderful person. I'm right there. Like I felt, okay, let's be clear. They're in the middle of serving each other papers.
Right.
And that time frame when you're like in the midst of divorce is like the gloves are on and the fight is happening. And sometimes, a guy maybe like Mark could want to be super sweet to kind of get what he wants in the end with the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I took it. I was like, being super sweet, there's a trick here somewhere. And I don't know how it plays out. I don't know what happens. I don't know. I don't even know if and I should know this, whether or not currently they're still married. I don't know.
I don't think I know either.
Me neither.
Yeah. And I should know because Kenya's my friend, but I don't know. But I'm going to say that I want him in a hotel, period.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's too, like you're saying, emotionally volatile when you're in the midst of it because you have the ups and the downs and I love you, but no, I hate you.
Yeah.
And I think that like it makes sense how, looking at a couple like you and Jamal, you can come back together at long after the dust has settled on everything.
Correct.
It's not in the heat of the moment.
Yeah. There would be no way that I'd be like, in the middle of it. I mean, Jamal and I got divorced 12, 13 years ago, but as it was happening, there's no way in hell I'd be like, oh, you're coming to town. Oh yeah. You can just stay here.
Yeah.
No,
no, you got money. Find your own place.
Yeah. Clearly.
All right. Well, I want to talk next about Marlo and whether or not she got liposuction, number one. Number two, why does it really matter?
Somebody that used the same doctor said that you got lipo like a couple days before the trip. So when you were in
couple
bed.
Couple days before the trip?
Yes. You were in bed saying that your back hurt. It was just kind of like,
My back hurt.
What's wrong with your back?
My nephew's jumped on it.
That's I wouldn't lie.
And, you know what I mean?
My appointment's in 2 weeks.
Let's see his thumb without the kiss.
Nope. Exactly. So because it doesn't matter, why didn't she just own it? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm on both sides of that fence too, because I'm like, well, on one hand, she already said she was going to get it. So like, then why would she lie about it? But then I'm like, why would she lie about it? I don't know who I believe.
that was a little bit of a tricky one, but the expression on her face made me feel like she was lying about it. And
so weird.
It was, but I loved it. I loved that whole thing, that whole interaction. I love Shamia being completely shady with the whole talking about the light. No, girl, nobody hurts your back. You got lipo. Like, I love that. That was just amazing to me. But yeah, if you're going to, at this point, nobody needs to lie about plastic surgery anymore. Just own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're getting it done, who cares?
I love when Shamia just sneaks up with that shade because she doesn't speak up that often. But when she does, it comes hard.
Yes. And then Portia's face during the whole thing, her facial expressions were like classic. It was just like, mm-hmm, yeah, girl. Like,
I will say too, doesn't like the recovery time for lipo take more than just a few days? Like, how could she get lipo a few days before this trip? Wouldn't she still be like, in a bed or something?
Well, I think that's why she had to go to bed.
True.
Yeah. And I think that's why she had to like wear, didn't she have like a not a brace on, but she had something on, like an undergarment.
Right.
On. But anyway.
Leave it to Marlo.
When you get ladies, housewives, everybody, when you get your stuff done, just own it. Right, it's fine. Right.
Just own it. All right, you do have the inside track. So I need to ask you, do you know if at the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, we're going to get any admissions to anything?
I don't know. And if I did know, I would not say.
You're pulling a Candy on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, had to ask.
I know. And the reason why I would not say is because I'm trying to keep all of my good jobs. Okay. And I don't want any calls from anyone saying Giselle spilled the beans.
Well, I mean, we get this hot mic moment that they flash back to in South Carolina between Marlo and Candy.
Yes.
Which, you know, Candy has been very diplomatic this season. She has been like, I will neither confirm nor deny if I did or did not hear some noises. But then in this hot mic moment, we sort of get this little confession and it's kind of like,
yeah.
But you know, I hate that I do it myself. I keep putting Candy in the middle of it of like, well, she could just be the one to reveal it, but it's not her place. And I think that's sort of what you're saying. You're like, this is not my place. I can't speak on it. You know, I want to keep all my friends happy. So
yeah.
I understand that sort of weird middle ground. It's kind of tough to be there sometimes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you have to understand Candy set up the whole night, right? And for the cameras. And then Candy, listen, she does the dungeon situation she went on a whole tour across the country with the dungeon. And she has a respect for enjoy your life and whatever you do is your business, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
But you know, there's a fine line between that and you're on a reality television show. So, you know, Candy was kind of trying to toe the line and I get it. However, I can say and spill a little tea. Mm. When I did see Candy at Cynthia's wedding, we had a very nice conversation about South Carolina. And that's all I'm going to say.
Wow. Wow. We're going to have you on the show every week, Giselle. So just like plan for that in your schedule because this is too good.
I will say that Candy was not towing the line with me. She gave me all tea that I needed.
Wow.
Oh man. God.
I strive to have that relationship with Candy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I think Candy also said it really perfectly when they all get together and this whole situation with LaToya and the Prophet come up and, you know,
the Delilah spirit.
Yes. So, you know, in this particular situation, I'm definitely team LaToya. And I know she has, you know, had her mess so far this season too, but I do feel like it's kind of unfair to be putting it all on LaToya. If this even did happen, if there even was a situation with the Prophet, like it takes two to tango, you know what I'm saying? So I don't understand why Drew is going so hard on LaToya and Candy is the one who's sort of like, what are you doing? Like, it's up to him too. You know what I'm saying?
But also, can we acknowledge this is next level unheard of drama territory in a Real Housewives franchise? Like, when has it ever been a thing of, you know, did she sleep with the Prophet? Like, what?
I know.
We're getting into prophets now. I am so confused.
I was a bit confused by the whole conversation as well, because I didn't understand why Drew needed to get somebody else to christen her child.
Right.
However, it made me feel like he didn't want to do it because he's in some mess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I felt as a viewer. Like, okay, he's pulling out of this because he's gotten busted with having a relationship with LaToya that might be inappropriate. And he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, you know, Drew isn't showing up with any receipts or any real proof at this point. So she's coming for LaToya and blaming her on this whole blessing and, you know, the prophet situation, but she doesn't really have proof. And I mean, if she showed up with some kind of evidence, I'd be like, all right, you got her. But she didn't really get her yet.
But I don't think she needs to. I think that Drew has enough information that she was able to have a strong opinion about what's really going down with this guy and LaToya. And my whole point is, if LaToya is dating this guy.
Dating, that's very sweet of you.
I know. Then I think it was proven he's not engaged, right? He said he was not engaged. So what difference does it make?
Right.
LaToya is, we all know she's single. She's getting a divorce from her husband. So like,
right.
Why is this a conversation? Why are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this one last thing. I'm sorry.
Him coming on, no, please.
The whole FaceTime phone call to him. And he was like, oh no, there's nothing going on between me and LaToya. You are lying, sir.
I mean, absolutely. Yeah, it's not that I care that LaToya slept with him, but like, let's be honest about it. And also, if you're a prophet, sir, you can't be lying.
That is a very good point.
Yes. And, you know, and I know, you know, you all know that I was married to Jamal. I know plenty of pastors and quote prophets.
Mm-hmm.
They're men.
Right.
First
and foremost.
So.
And I'm sure you know plenty of Delilahs too.
Oh, yes.
I do. I also have to say that this assistant Danny of Drew's is like the John Blizzard of Atlanta, where it's sort of this employee.
Oh, but, no, Beverly Hills.
Well, right. But like he's.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's sort of like he's stirring shit behind the scenes and he's not really on the show, but he's kind of working these different situations in the background. It reminded me of, you know, John Blizzard and all of that Beverly Hills Puppygate drama, which like I can't even, just saying that makes me shiver.
Yes, I know, right? But I think in his defense, I don't think he knew what he was doing.
Right.
I don't think he was doing it on, he just got caught up in the middle of housewives drama, which is what we live for.
That is true. Any final thoughts on this episode of Atlanta?
My final thought is, how did Cynthia not know what being motorboated meant?
Motorboat, you know what?
You like the what?
She likes to
motorboat. What is that, like the tea bag thing?
When somebody takes your breast, Cynthia, and they go,
they do it down
no,
there?
No, to your breast.
Oh, they like motorboat right your breast.
Oh, Cynthia.
You have a child, Cynthia, and you're on your second husband, and you never heard that term?
I find that hard to believe. Who said they
are to I know.
Was that Kenya? Somebody said they found that hard to believe that she did not know. Yeah, I find that hard to believe as well. Now, I do believe it's never happened to her, but
right,
now it
fair.
Has because LaToya took care of it.
Thank you, LaToya. I mean, Cynthia has had quite a few firsts this season. I mean,
was indeed
motorboating, sex swing, dungeon party. Like there was a lot that she found out she was a voyeur. I mean, she's seen some growth this season.
Yes, indeed.
All right, let's do New Jersey next.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Giselle, I would love your opinion on Jennifer Aiden and this discussion that Margaret brings up about this Instagram Live and Jennifer being a bit tone deaf, given everything that's going on in the world. What are your thoughts on Jennifer?
But is that new information? Like Jennifer tone deaf, but I think that's kind of like her appeal, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have an issue with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just her.
Megan, what do you think?
I mean, I see both sides of it and that, like, I think that a lot of things that Jennifer does are super cringy. On the other hand, you know that I've been very anti this whole Instagram police thing during COVID where people are like, you're having a good time. Shame on you. And it's like, dear God, people still have to live their lives.
Yes.
So I don't know. I see both sides of it.
Yeah. I mean, and Jennifer brings up an interesting point in the after show where she's like, it's my Instagram live. Like, you don't have to listen if you don't want to.
Change the channel. That was great.
Yeah, change the channel. This is what I'm going through in my life right now. It's a lot. I have my kids at home, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, Margaret, you have a podcast where you talk about all sorts of stuff. So what's the real difference if you're putting things out there on your podcast that are your life problems? You know, what's the difference for me doing that on my Instagram live? So I also see it from kind of both sides, because I do think, not that Jennifer's tone deaf is like part of her personality or who she is, but she has done things like this in the past. And it's kind of why we like her and we want her on Housewives, you know?
It's my tone. You don't like the music, change the channel, bitch.
Yes, yes. And I felt like this is not about what they're talking about. This is about the fact that Margaret hates Jen, and this is just another excuse to continue to hate her. And yeah, I can't wait to see what else they get into.
Right, right. Well, we also have all of this stuff going on with Jennifer's parents and the issues with her mom and her dad and all of it. So there's a lot to unpack there. And it's, you know, I think Jennifer's been really great in these last couple of seasons about really sharing the good, the bad, the ugly in what's going on within her family and everything that her mom is going through. I do feel so bad, especially Jen being stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah. And I, to be honest with you, I was kind of shocked that her parents are annihilating each other on television.
Yes. Yeah.
And yes. I'm just like, whoa. It made me feel like I don't want to watch this a little bit, you know, because they're her parents. And this is obviously deep rooted. This is obviously, you know, 50 years of a marriage that has its ups and downs and its highs and its lows, and we'll never be able to unpack it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've every time I see it and she talks about it, I'm just like, it's not that I don't want to watch it because it's good TV. It's just that I'm like, wow, this can never be resolved on this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And
absolutely.
You know, I interviewed Jen last week or the week before, and she and her mom actually at that time were not even talking because her mom started to see everything that was coming out on the show and just kind of, I think, felt maybe she was being exploited a little at the end of the day, I think she was just embarrassed by her business being so out there. And Jen was like, we're going to therapy. I'm going to therapy. She's going to therapy. We're going to therapy together. So Jen is taking a lot of steps to try to fix what's happened, you know, between her and her mom and her mom and her dad. So it's a lot to have on her plate. I must say.
That's good to know. It's good to know that I'm not surprised that her mom feels that way watching this, because that's how I'm feeling, but it's good to know that at least they're doing something about it.
Yeah.
I think it also makes me sad because like on a smaller scale, I think this happens a lot where this isn't across the board, but a lot of times moms are the ones who are taking on the brunt of the emotional responsibility for the family and like taking care of the kids. But dads really get a lot of the glory because kids love their dads. And like Jennifer's saying, like, my memories of him are all wonderful memories.
Of course.
But her mom was the one that's like putting in the hard work day after day. And just the fact that Gina Marie, which we'll get into, was saying, look, your mom, whether you agree with it or not, sees herself as an abused woman. You need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Yes. But she needs to acknowledge it. I feel, but it's her.
I know, it's tricky.
It's for her mother it's her mother's story.
Yeah.
Right. And again, you know, they're at the last, you know, chapters of their lives. And it's just like, is this how we want to end it?
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Right. And sometimes at a certain point, you might only be thinking back on the negative memories and those overpower the positive ones. And that might be where she's at in her journey right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one for sure.
It is. It really is. Okay. Well, let's get into the Gina Marie stuff because I am just obsessed with this whole situation, but I wanted to share with you guys how Gina Marie came to be on the show, because it's a really fascinating story.
Okay.
So Teresa actually had a reading with Gina before her father passed away. So Gina Marie told Teresa that her mother was coming through to talk to her, and her mother was showing Gina the number three. Okay, the number three. Nono died on April 3rd. Her mom had passed away on March 3rd. The two of them got married after only 3 months. And then Teresa met Louis 3 months after her dad passed away.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, so Teresa just felt like, okay, she gave me all this information. It was super powerful. I want to share it with my friends. So she was like, let's do a group reading. So that's how this whole situation came to be.
I'm okay. Curious, Giselle, if you have thoughts on psychics and mediums, if you've ever been to one.
Yes, I recently actually. And I'll just give you like a little history of me. So I am the 28th grandchild on my mother's side and the youngest. So by the time my grandparents met me, it was kind of like, well, we had 27 other people to play with. Like, we, you know, don't care about you. Wow. Not like that, but you know, I never felt a connection with them at all. And then they passed away. And, you know, here I am living my life. And I feel like I'm out here, you know, living my best life and doing the best Giselle job I can possibly do. And the questions I continue to have in my mind as I become more and more, quote, successful is, do they know, do they care? Do they even know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
So I've always like had that in the back of my spirit. And so I wanted to talk to a medium about it.
That's amazing. That's a good reason.
Yeah. And I didn't know. So I told my mom about it, and I thought she was going to freak her out. And I thought she's going to be like, girl, that's crazy. Why? Who's talking to the dead people? But my mother was totally on board, and she totally felt the same way I felt as it relates to the fact that they can come through and they are around, and they are, you know, spirits are around us all the time if we allow them to be. So we might potentially see that later in life.
Yeah.
But yes, I do believe in psychics. I believe in mediums. I believe that we're never alone. And, you know, for the people that don't believe it or think it's like devilish and, you know, you're messing with the devil, I think that's very short-sighted, mm-hmm. because it's like, who are we to say that just your life here on earth is all that there is?
Right. Because especially if you are someone with religious convictions, I mean, isn't that, you know, a part of it is like what happens after. And so I think connecting to that side, like how could that be a bad thing? Like, I think it just makes me feel sad for people who think it's wrong. Cause I'm like, it could be very deeply comforting.
Exactly. Well, yes. I that's how I feel for sure.
Well, and I mean, we did see that reaction from many of these women during this reading. Who were you guys most affected by when you saw them get their reading?
Oh, I think Margaret's actually, because it was such a, you know, I think it must be hard for you Bravo Lebs to do this, because there is a chance that someone has done a deep dive into you and knows things about you. And, you know, how could that not affect the reading? Right. But the fact that she was calling out Margaret's father-in-law who passed away, you know, I just felt like, oh, how would she have possibly known that?
Yes.
And, you know, called him by name, and just that Margaret's her such a strong reaction to that.
Yeah.
I totally, she really needed to hear that. I felt very moved by that.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there a father figure that's crossed over for you and connected to the name Bernie?
Yes.
Okay. He said, Margaret was the daughter I didn't have. So I don't know if he had only sons, this man.
That's my Jan's father. And we were like this. Okay, I'm just freaking
That's
out.
That's the daughter that I never had. And he loved you. And he said, the decisions you've had to make were very difficult, but I support you following your heart. And I want to thank Margaret for stepping in and raising my grandchildren.
He was my favorite human. If he was still alive, I probably would never divorce Jan. I'm not even kidding you. This is everything on point. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
You know, they can do a massive search of us because our lives are out there publicly. So there is always a feeling of, oh, they just read this on the internet. and they connected the dots by whatever Google search they did. But I don't believe every medium that I've spoken with has always said that they don't watch TV. And I believe it, like, because that messes with their juju, like it messes with what they do.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Margaret. Yeah, I think Margaret needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved Dolores's reading. And I figured, Megan, you were probably, you know, would respond to that too, having Penny, you know, your dog, and just seeing Dolores get so emotional over her dog coming through. I was just like, oh my God, like everyone reacted to that because you never see Dolores cry.
They sit on a couch together and a big sized dog jumps up and she said, tell her Boo is here. The psychic just told her she's basically in a dead-end relationship. But instead, she's sobbing over her dog. You can't make this shit up.
Yeah, that was very sad. But, you know, I was more like everyone else. I was more like, but like the boyfriend thing, did you hear that? Because, you know, I mean, not that I expected her. I think in a way she was emotional over the dog because that was such a, oh, how did you know that? You know? And so like, maybe for her, it was like, oh, this is real. Whereas before when she said the thing about David, you can take it or leave it. But it's kind of sad to me because the writing is on the wall. Everyone sees this isn't the relationship for her. She has a medium telling her that even her grandparents are like, this is not the guy for you. But for whatever reason, she's still holding on.
Can I say I want her to get back with her ex-husband? Can I just?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Everyone feels that way. I thought I was the only one.
Yes. They're so cute together.
Okay. All right. Great. And I like David. I like him.
Yeah. He's fine. He just doesn't have the charisma of a Frank.
Right.
But do we need that? Like, do we need that?
Yeah, that's true.
Because Dolores has enough, right? So I don't necessarily feel like that's what's needed. I just feel like the connection that she has with Frank is just, it has withstood the test of time.
It's true. Well, do you guys think then, you know, the medium says he's not your soulmate, referring to David, but does your soulmate have to be your romantic partner? Because what if Frank is her soulmate because of just this bond that they have and David just happens to be her romantic partner? Like, do they have to be the same thing?
I say no, but you know what? I feel like I've missed a whole lot with Jersey like 2-3 seasons ago. So I called one of my girlfriends that is a Jersey fanatic. And I was like, explain to me why Dolores and Frank are not together. Like, I don't even get it. And so she said that Frank admitted that he wouldn't be faithful to her or something. And I don't believe it. I think that if they were to really get back together, he would be faithful to her.
Yeah.
I think he loves her. I think he feels the connection between the two of them more than she does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and also we don't really get any glimpses into Frank's romantic life. Like, if he can't be faithful to Dolores, does that mean he can be faithful to someone else? And we just don't see that, you know, it's interesting.
I thought he had a girlfriend. Doesn't he have a girlfriend?
I think he might.
I know he did.
Right.
And they were living together and then broke up.
I'm going to call Dolores. I'm going to let her
get to the bottom of
enough
it.
Already. She needs to be with Frank and that's
we
that.
Need to know.
We'll say I was so just like shocked by this whole reading that I immediately went to book a session with Gina Marie.
No way.
Yeah, because I had already seen the Turkish coffee reader from Real Housewives of New York. So I was like, you know what? I've already done that. Let me just go all in.
Okay.
But her earliest booking was in August.
Okay.
And this was months ago when I booked her because I had seen an early cut of this episode. But it's just like, wow, she is in demand.
Okay, let us know. Keep us posted. Because if and when you see the medium that I spoke with, he is very much in demand as well. I had to pull some strings to kind of get it done. I think that, if not, maybe you can get in with my guy before August.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'll hit you up.
Dang. We're like hustling mediums over here. It's like a black market thing. I don't know. Any final thoughts on Jersey?
No, I love Jersey. I fell back in love with them. I fell out of love with them for a little while. I'm so back in love with Jersey. I love their family dynamic. I think Joe Gorga needs to be in the cast picture.
For sure.
I don't understand why he's not. Yeah, I really like those ladies and I like their dynamic.
Yeah, this is a great cast. Well, guys, we invited Real Housewives of Dallas's Dr. Tiffany Moon back on the show to talk about her fans, Moonbeam's Rise Up, everything that went down on the Oklahoma trip, and how things are between her and her mom today. Let's take a listen.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, guys, Moonbeams, rejoice, because we are here with Dr. Tiffany Moon. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Well, I'm super excited to talk to you because I know you've been on the show before. You talked to my co-host, Megan, but you and I have something in common.
Oh, what is that?
So I am not a doctor, but I did go to school in Ithaca, and you went to Cornell.
Oh my gosh, I have such good memories. Ithaca is gorgeous.
Ithaca is gorgeous. So yeah, I was talking to some of my friends because I couldn't remember. I went to Ithaca College, so I spent a lot more time obviously on that campus and down in the commons, but I used to go up to like the college town area and like go out to different bars and stuff there. And there was like a Japanese restaurant that we used to go to and like, maybe.
Oh my gosh. What was it called? Something Plum.
Yes.
Plum Tree.
Plum Tree. Yes. And like, I'm not saying.
Oh, I'm not. You just took me back.
Right. So I'm not saying that I used to go when I was like underage. I did frequent that restaurant on occasion.
Yes. It's closed now. I'm so sad.
Oh no. Is it?
Yes. But I also, not underagedly, did dined there.
Okay. We were probably there at the same time for all we know. Yes, only fond memories of Ithaca. I think our listeners are probably sick of hearing me talk about it, honestly, because I bring it up all the time, but it's fine.
I love that.
Well, I mean, so we had you on the show last time. It was very early on in the season. It might have even been right before the season had actually started. So I'm just curious to know, what has the fan response been like for you? I mean, you have your own like group of fans called the Moonbeams. Like, what has it been like?
I will tell you the best thing about this show have been the fans and the outpouring of love and support that I have gotten from people.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I really didn't. I did not know that people would accept me into their homes and hearts and send me emails and DMs saying, I love you on the show. You're my inspiration. I got one from an 11-year-old, which I don't know why her mom's letting her watch this show. But anyway, she was like, I saw you on the show and I want to be just like you when I grow up. And I was like, you know what? Like, that was the sweetest comment, because she actually is 11 and that came from her heart. I love it. Moonbeams, rise up.
I mean, it is so cool to see, because I think even just from, you know, a viewer perspective and as a fan of our shows, you know, it's not every day that a new, you know, first season housewife comes on and there's such a positive response to them, you know? And so I think we've seen like a universally positive response to you joining the show, which I absolutely love.
I love it too. It is, I will correct you slightly in that it is not universal, because I get plenty of hate too.
Okay, that's
I want
fair.
To make abundantly clear that there's definitely some people who are not moonbeams, and that's just fine with me.
Right. And I guess that is the nature of the beast, right? right? It's reality TV. It's Housewives. That is, you know, always going to be a part of it. But only look at the positive ones, right? Just like only open the positive DMs. You can probably tell, right, when you get them, like which ones are going to be good and which ones are going to be bad just by the first like line or so.
Yeah, yeah. We try to ignore the hater comments and try to respond to the positive ones. Yes.
Right. Haters to the left. So I want to go back a little bit and talk about a few other things that have happened this season, but let's take it all the way back because I want to know how you became so close with Mama D to begin with.
I met Mama D before I met Deandra. I mean, I met Deandra because of Mama D.
Yeah.
Mama D, I don't think she'll be mad at me for saying this, is not a stranger to surgery and anesthesia. She's had several procedures, some of which were replacements of joints because she's 80 years old and wore out.
True.
The ones that God had given her. We call her the bionic woman. And some of them were for other procedures. And we met basically because I'm an anesthesiologist and we kind of crossed paths that way. And she just, you know, she was like, I love you. You're spunky. She was like, are you going to be the doctor that puts me to sleep? And I was like, yes, ma'am. You know, here to serve you. And I'm like, I'm the doctor that has the good drugs. And she was like, oh, I like you. You know, she just did her whole Mama D. And then after that, I was, you know, her anesthesiologist.
That is so funny. I mean, you have a really good Mama D impression too, I will say.
Yeah, I do a really good Mama D, especially if I have a few drinks in me.
Which we don't see too often on the show because usually the next day you're like, excuse me, guys, I have to be up at 6. I'm sorry, I have a job.
Yeah, I got totally set up. Like the night of Carrie's birthday party was on a weekday and I worked that day and was scheduled to work the next day. And I was like, this is a total setup for maybe to make me look like a bore because
right.
You guys know I have to work tomorrow.
Right. And like usually people who are like, oh, I have to work tomorrow. Like not all the time is their job literally like being responsible for somebody's life. So it's a little different for you showing up hungover than it might be for other people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a very responsible person and I would never ever put my patients, you know, in jeopardy by showing up to work less than 100%. So
right.
That was my primary obligation. And sorry if that makes you think I'm boring.
Which you're not. So it's fine.
Thank you.
Well, and Mama D, you know, this season, we see her and Deandra get into it over the whole Simmons last name. Do you think that Mama D was telling the truth about Deandra? Like from what you know about their family and their kind of dynamic, what is your take on this whole Simmons last name drama?
It, you know, I missed the whole thing at my party because I was off in the corner dancing, I think. And then it was brought up later. And I was like, what are you guys fighting about this time? And so I got the gist of what happened. And they both maintain to this very day that they each are correct.
Right.
And I'm like, still, you know, and it's like the one person's like, this guy is green. And someone's else like, no, it's purple. And you're like, y'all, we are just going to have to agree to disagree on this topic because we are going nowhere. Like still to this day, they will say the exact same thing, which is Mama D maintains that Deandra did it for self-gain. And Deandra is very hurt that she says that because she said that she did not do it for self-gain. And, you know, I wasn't there at the time. I didn't know either of them back then. So I'm just sort of sitting on the corner going, okay.
Right. Well, if it's true to you and it's true to you, then it can be two different truths, I guess.
Yeah. And honestly, why are we even arguing about this? Like, you know, rest in peace. Glenn Simmons was a good man. He's passed. He has a wonderful legacy of leaving behind a wife and a stepdaughter that has his last name. Deandra is doing such wonderful things with his life. I mean, with her life. Like, why are we even talking about this? Just drop it already.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Mama D was sort of talking to you guys at that dinner with almost a sense of pride of like, well, I found this man, I tracked him down and I got him to marry me. You know, like she was sort of kind of making light of it and making a joke. And I think was hoping maybe Deandra would just kind of climb on board that train and just be like, well, yeah, you know, I changed my last name because I also felt like it was more in my best interest or something. But I can see how Deandra doesn't want to come across as someone like opportunistic. But Mama D has such conviction when she makes these claims that I'm just like, I can't not believe Mama D.
I know. I love Mama D. But sometimes when she tells me things, I'm like, was that really the way it happened? Or had I drank too many martinis that night? But she says things with such conviction that I'm like, she's probably right. You know, just because she says
right.
So certainly. And then I don't, what are we going to do when she's like 90 and starts getting demented and still has such conviction? Like, we're just gonna have to smile and nod.
Yeah. Well, I hope we still get it on the show too, because I don't want Mama D going anywhere if she's going to get even crazier.
No, she's not going anywhere. I've been calling her the seventh RHOD housewife since like season three. So
yeah, I mean, pretty much, right? Like she's a staple for the show.
Agreed.
Well, so, you know, Deandra and Mama D button heads over this. We also see Brandy and Deandra butting heads quite a bit this season. And it kind of starts at the same party where there's this whole issue about the meditation you guys did and Christianity and everything. So what are your thoughts on that situation between the two of them?
Yeah, I was really caught off guard. And I think Deandra was really caught off guard when Brandy kind of, you know, started going after her for the whole meditation thing. I mean, Deandra started this meditation because she knew that she came across sometimes abrasively and harshly, and she was doing it to sort of find her peace within and, you know, be a better Christian. Like, it was part of her spiritual journey. So when Brandy sort of tried to say that she wasn't a good Christian because she was using a shaman for her spirituality, I don't know. I didn't agree with it. I think, you know, Deandra was really caught off guard by it. And sometimes you just look at the TV and say, Brandy, what?
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Well, when they have their follow-up conversation about the whole thing, I thought it was interesting that Deandra brings up the whole, you know, speaking to ghosts and the thing that happened last season. So before you were on the show, they went to this haunted house and they were doing, you know, this like reading and sort of like a seance situation. So I was glad that Deandra brought that up because it did seem a little hypocritical of Brandy to be, you know, she says she wasn't being judgmental, but I think it's from a viewer's perspective, it does feel like she was being a little judgmental, even though she's maybe done something similar in the past, you know, with the haunted house stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea about that haunted house and conjuring up spirits and talking to the spirits. I have no idea about that. But I do think that it is hypocritical if you do that sort of thing and then try to shame someone for interacting with a shaman. And, you know, like in no part of our Meditation Monday that we did I feel like we were doing something that was unchristian-like.
Oh, right, letting the devil in or something like that.
Right. We were all being positive. I mean, chanting, breathing together. It's like, you know, almost the kind of thing that you would do like at a yoga class where at the end you sort of, you know, say something positive about yourself and take a deep breath together as a class. I mean, I think she was reaching a little, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and I think you and Brandy also, like, you guys had a breakthrough in that meditation as well. I think there was so there was a lot of positive that came out of it at the end of the day.
Yeah, that was a really good moment for us, Brandy and I, because up until then, well, you saw me leave the cast trip early in Austin because I felt blindsided at the dinner table that I had been trying to have a good time with her all weekend and hang out. And I had even said to Deandra before the trip started, I'm really looking forward to spending some quality time with Brandy. I haven't had any one-on-one time with her ever. And then to be blindsided at the table to tell me that she feels like she's walking on eggshells around me and she doesn't feel like she's comfortable around me. I just felt like, oh, so that's why we couldn't move forward in our friendship, because you basically don't like me for things that I cannot change.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was rough to watch, I will say, as a viewer.
That was a little rough. And, you know, I don't agree with always just, you know, leaving a situation without addressing it, but I had just reached my level of toxicity that I could deal with. And that's why I left Austin early. And the first time that I saw her after Austin was at Meditation Monday.
Right.
So I thought it was incredibly big of her to reach out during that time and sort of tell me that, you know what, like after you left Austin, I thought about it and it's me, like I was projecting my feelings onto you. I don't actually have a problem with you as a person. And I do really want to get to know you better and be friends with you. And I was like, look at all the good that is coming out of this. And then you go around and turn around on Deandra that she's like bringing demons into the house. I mean, is it good or is it bad? It can't be both.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and then we see things get even more complicated between the two of them with this Page Six article. So, you know, that was an interesting thing because I'm not really sure if Deandra actually messed that up or if Brandy was more so overreacting. Like in that moment between the two of them, what was your take on the whole situation? Because it was, you know, more of like a clickbaity headline type thing.
Well, the headline probably it was a little clickbaity.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want people to read articles that you write, so you're going to try to make the best headline for your article that you can. Everyone is just trying to do their job, you know? When Deandra was asked about, you know, what about Brandy's video? Are you guys going to address that this season on RHOD? She could have and probably should have, in retrospect, said, I declined to comment. You know, it will be addressed, but that's not for me to do. That could have been fine. But let's just say that I love Deandra for many, many reasons, but holding back is not one of them. And she said, in a proud way, actually, yeah, we're not just going to ignore the topic and pretend like that video never existed. We are going to address it head on. And that's basically what she said. And then, you know, the headline happened and Brandy read it and it brought up all her previous bad feelings. And so I sort of get where Brandy's coming from too, because she kind of thought that it had passed, right? And she's like, here we go again. So I see both sides of the story, but again, I don't think it's over. It's worth ruining a friendship over.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a good point, but at least they're able to sort of move forward with that. And I think we do see some, you know, growth in Deandra for being able to be like, look, I'm sorry. Like, and she kind of is in control of her emotions in the moment, even though maybe previously pre-Shaman Deandra might have freaked out a little bit more in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, people were kind of coming hard for her that day, and she was doing pretty well holding it together. I mean, pre-Shaman Deandra would have really not dealt with that very well, but especially that everyone else started chiming in, you know, and I was like, this is the talk between Brandy and Deandra. And then all of a sudden everyone else is like, yeah, and you suck at hosting parties. You forgot the ice. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, can you just let them two talk right now, please? And so I felt like she was being attacked. I felt like I was the only person who was not joining in to attack her at that moment.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. Well, so this is all ahead of the trip you guys take to Oklahoma. So what went through your mind when you first heard, we're going camping in Oklahoma?
I always make this joke that I am an indoor cat. I like to snuggle, take naps, read books, drink tea. I do not like to camp and be outside for just about any reason. I have nothing against Oklahoma. Actually, I had never been to the state prior to this trip.
Yeah.
The reason for that is because I saw no indication to go to the state prior to this trip. So yeah, Stephanie's like, I would love for you to y'all to come to my home state and go camping. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I came home and I was like, is that where you go to the sporting goods store and buy a tent and you have to like make it and you sleep outside and there's like bugs and bears? And I mean, I work pretty dang hard to have a roof over my head and an air conditioner. And I was like, why would anyone want to go sleep outside? But then I asked Stephanie about it and she was like, no, it's like an air conditioned cabin. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if that's camping, then I can do that.
Yeah, the air conditioning is key. So it was a little bit more glamping than camping, I suppose.
Yes, it was definitely glamping. I'm not sure that I can tick camping off of the list of things that I've done in my life. I'm not that beautiful cabin with air conditioning, a full kitchen, and like 5 bedrooms counts.
Right, right. Hot tub too, right? Don't forget the hot tub.
Yes.
Well, you guys also let Brandy drive for this trip. Did you know she was legally blind in one eye at the time?
No, I still don't know that Brandy's legally blind in one eye. Who did you hear that from? I'm hearing that for the first time right now.
She says it in the interview. She's like, oh yeah, they let me drive. But you know, I mean, technically I'm legally blind in one eye. And the producer's like,
I, as of right now, am hearing that for the first time. I was not made privy to that information prior to being a passenger on the Brandy bus.
I mean, I think she's fully capable, but it's just really funny to think that she was like, yeah, I'll do it. I mean, Stephanie was all like, I'm a terrible driver. It's not going to be me. But Brandy's like, sure, I'll take it on.
I'm a pretty terrible driver too. Honestly, Brandy with one eye is probably better than me with two. So
that's fair. She had it under control. Yeah. It seemed like she was dressed for the part.
No, she did a really good job.
Well, on the trip, you talk at one point about the sorority vibe that you're starting to feel with all of the ladies. So have you felt that with any other Bravo celebrities outside of your cast?
Yeah, I recently have made friends with Crystal Kung-Minkoff, who will be joining the Beverly Hills cast.
Yes.
She and I forgot who reached out to who first, but now we talk regularly. And I might be visiting LA sometime in the near future. And she was like, if you come out to LA, we have to get together. Maybe we can do a double date. We kind of talked about our experiences growing up as Chinese Americans. And we also were part of a Bravo Instagram Live talking about the increase in violence toward Asian Americans. Americans in our country. And she and I have been on the phone a number of times since then. So she's like my new Bravo bestie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've talked to a few of the housewives from other franchises, but I wouldn't say that we're like besties.
Right. Not yet anyway. There's still time.
Not yet anyway. And I haven't traveled, so I've never met any of these people in person.
I know. I know. We need another BravoCon to just like get everybody together at once and like have you just meet everybody in one foul swoop, you know?
That sounds amazing. I was in New York for the last BravoCon. Brandy was actually on the same plane as I was, but I had no idea that there was BravoCon. I was going to New York for a real estate convention.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
I was like, hey girl. And she's like, hey. And I was like, what you doing? Why are you going to New York? And she's like, for BravoCon, like, duh. And I was like
duh.
Yeah. And I was seriously like, oh, what's BravoCon? And she's like, why are y'all here? My husband and I were sitting together and we're like, oh, we're attending a real estate conference. She's like, okay, bye.
She's like, that sounds fun.
Yeah. She's like, bye. Have a good time in New York. We're like, okay, bye.
Well, next time we'll get you in. You'll be there. You'll be part of the whole thing. So don't worry.
Yes, please.
On this trip too, we see Carrie acting a certain way towards Charles, who comes to help you guys, I guess, look for Bigfoot. And he's got you in the woods at like 1:30 in the morning. But she's going in on him about hunting and everything. But it's kind of weird because she eats meat. So what was going through your mind as she was having this sort of outburst to Charles?
To be quite frank, I was maybe nodding off a little bit because we had just eaten and it was late in the evening and there was this nice fire and I was all warm and full. So there may be some footage of me taking a nap in the corner, but I did wake up because there was all this commotion and she was like, basically yelling at Charles, I think, for some, about like, do you go hunting? Does that make you feel like a man? Or why do you go kill innocent animals in the forest? I'm not really sure what she said. But that was
essentially all of that. Yeah.
That was basically the gist that she was on. And I was like, how did we even get on this topic? Like, I missed the introduction part because I had nodded off a little bit. And I was like, I thought we were supposed to go hunting for Bigfoot. Like, when is that going to happen? Like, why are we talking about like killing animals and eating them? And you wear leather shoes? Like, where right. did you think those came from?
Right.
So I was a little bit confused, but because I had missed the beginning of the conversation, like, I didn't know what had been said or how it started. So I was just like, I'm just going to sit over here and drink my wine.
Yeah. Yeah. She does, you know, go in on him a little bit. The next day, Stephanie brings it up and mentions, you know, I think you were rude and he came here, he took his time to help us look for Bigfoot, which you guys, you know, I don't know if your stance on Bigfoot's existence has changed since then, but, you know, we do see Carrie apologize to Stephanie and just, you know, she gets pretty emotional being like, oh, I didn't realize I hurt your feelings and all that. So it could have just been the alcohol and all of that.
I know, but how many times are we going to excuse someone's poor behavior with like, oh, she had a few drinks and I guess that's how she gets. Like, I mean,
right.
How many times? You get like maybe two, maybe three of those every year or two. And then after your sixth one, it's like, well, you're kind of just being an asshole. Like, can we stop using this, like, I had two drinks kind of excuse? Like, you know, it's like I had been overserved by then. And it's like, look, we've all been drinking. No one shoved, you know, drinks down your throat. Like, you're an adult and you can't use, oh, I was drinking as an excuse for everything.
Yeah. Well, we also see Carrie retaliate against you guys after the fart bomb prank. She takes, like, the salsa or whatever and like throws it all over Cam's bed, your bed. Like, what was that about?
I wish it was late and I had gotten that fart bomb at the store that we stopped at, you know, one of these weird, you know, shops like on the way, you know, on the side of the highway. Let's stop there and get some souvenirs. And so I was looking around and, you know, I didn't want to get a statue of Bigfoot or anything to take home and place in my home. So I was like looking around, what am I going to buy? And then I saw on the counter, there was these fart bombs and I was like, oh, this is genius. It's basically
classic.
You know, a chemical reaction in a little vial. It smells like sulfur and smells like fart. So I was waiting all weekend to deploy that fart. Like I was waiting. And you know, that was like our last night, I think. And I was like, God, the time just never came. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I'm going to do it now. Like it's now or never. So I decided to deploy the fart bomb in Stephanie and Carrie's room. And I did not think that she was going to have that reaction, which she did. Yeah, that was quite a, I guess, maybe a little bit of an overreaction to the fart bomb. You know, I meant it in good fun.
Because how long does the fart bomb linger, too? It's not like a
permanent. Like,
right, it's not like a permanent thing.
Like, it's not permanent. It's a temporary chemical reaction released into the air that's supposed to smell foul for the most 45 seconds.
Right.
And then it dissipates just like a normal fart. And she went out and came, she retaliated in a fashion that did not last 45 seconds.
Yeah, no, because it's also like that's somebody else's house, you know, like that might get into the mattress, not just the sheets that are there. Like it just seemed a little extreme.
Yeah. And then the funny thing, well, not funny, but the unusual thing that happened from that was that then Cam was super pissed at Carrie because she was like, what? I have to sleep here too. I'm not the one that did the fart bomb. But, you know, Cam and I were sharing a bed. So then Cam was really mad at Carrie. And then I basically spent the whole night apologizing and doing laundry.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, that's just too much. That's gone too far.
Right.
Well, speaking of Cam, I remember when this happened in real time, when we found out that she was stung by a scorpion. So can we talk about this attack? Did you witness this happen?
I did not. And she did not either. She just had a bite on her arm. She was like, you know, I'm the doctor on call for the group. I had to administer medical attention several times to the ladies of the group, but because of HIPAA violation, I cannot say who or what kind of medical attention was administered. However, Cam brought up the scorpion thing and she had this red raised bump on her arm. And she's like, Tiffany, what do you think this is? And I was like, oh, I'm really not good at rashes. I didn't like my dermatology rotation at all in med school. but it was getting worse. Actually. And I was like, well, let's just put some steroid cream on it because generally that's what they do and everything gets better with steroid cream.
Right.
And he was like, no, it's really itching and it's starting to feel hot. And then we kind of looked it up and, you know, we Googled it and she's like, I think I got bit by a scorpion or a spider. And then we looked at what scorpion bites look like and it looked just like what she had on her arm. And I was like, that's it. That's the diagnosis.
Oh my God.
I know, poor Cam.
That is crazy.
I know. This is why we don't go camping.
Right.
Yeah, God, it's you just guys, this is what
too risky.
This is why we stay inside.
Well, yeah, because when we heard that it had happened in real time, she posted about it on Instagram. And I remember, you know, we covered it on BravoTV.com. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't wait to see that. So I kind of was watching these episodes, waiting for the moment of like, literally the scorpion to strike her or whatever. But then we kind of got it after the fact when she's home. You know, she's talking to Court and her family about the whole thing. But I was like, oh my God, this is just so wild. Like a scorpion attack? Like that's not housewives.
Yeah, a very stealth scorpion.
Stealthy scorpion.
That's right.
Well, after you get back from the trip, we see you have an emotional conversation with your mom. It's her birthday. She's over. You guys end up chit-chatting and kind of getting into what's going on in your relationship and just how you're feeling about the whole thing. So how has being on the show affected your relationship with her?
My relationship with my mom has been strained for several years. We have our ups and downs, as most mothers and daughters do in life. When my children were born, she and I became closer just because she loves my twin girls, who are now 6 years old. But our relationship at times continued to be strained. My father is immunocompromised. And so when COVID hit, they took quarantine very seriously.
Yeah.
And I had to beg her to come to my house to see my children and have a cup of coffee with me and just see her, because she thought that because I worked in a hospital and had high risk exposures to COVID patients, that I was going to bring it home and that I was going to give it to her and that she was going to go home and my father was going to die.
Right.
You know, all this catastrophizing that I do, you know, I learned it from someone.
Yeah.
So our relationship was strained during the show because of COVID. She really didn't want to come over. And then I think as the number of cases went down and she felt more comfortable, we started to have a little bit more of a relationship. But it's just hard right now. Like right now, I can't in honesty say to you that we're best friends and we're gonna have tea this Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is tough because I think being on a show, right, there's almost a microscope on your relationship with people and what's going on in your life. So I feel like introducing cameras and the whole thing to your mom when there might already be tension, like that probably adds even more complication to the whole thing.
Yeah. And my mom doesn't watch reality TV. She watches the news, and actually she doesn't even watch American news. She has a satellite at her house that gets Chinese news.
Wow.
So I think she might have Bravo, but maybe not. And certainly she doesn't know what Bravo is. She doesn't know what Real Housewives is. So when I told her that I was going to be embarking on this adventure, I don't think she had any clue what I was about to get into, nor did I. And when I asked her to come over to talk and hang out, and I was like, there might be a camera around, I don't think she realized. I think she thought it was going to be like somebody holding a, you know, Nikon 5, you
right,
know, like,
right.
You know, I don't think she understood there was like
a crew.
Also a sound guy and a yeah. light guy. And mom was sort of like, she was like, is it too late to turn back around?
Right. She's like, can you just blur my face out? Is that okay?
Yeah. And she was like, and I'm definitely keeping my mask on. And I was like, keep your mask on, mom. It's fine. Like, you know, so all her scenes with me, like her mask was on. She was not taking that thing off.
So has she watched any of the show so far from what you know?
I sure hope not. I don't know. I have not asked her and she has not said anything. And before the show started, I asked her not to watch it. But, well, I don't know if she's watched it. I don't think she has. But I think some of my Chinese aunties from the church that she goes to said something to her, because she did say something to me, you know, sort of off the cuff. Like, oh, you know, Auntie Sarah said her daughter say you on TV now. And I was like, oh, God, what a...
You're like, here we go.
Like, Auntie Chen's talking trash about me again. What else is new?
Well, what are they going to say? I mean, look, you come up with these like amazing interview looks. So there's only like positive things anybody can really be saying at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one interview look you have with the netting. I'm so into it.
Like, oh, thank cleavage. You.
Oh, so thank good.
You. Thank you.
Well, before I let you go, I want to ask about your candle line, Aromasthesia. Am I saying that correctly? Right? That's right.
Yes. It's a blend between aromatherapy and anesthesia.
Yes.
So Aromasthesia, you said it perfectly.
Aromasthesia. So like, talk about this candle line. What is your favorite scent? Like, what do you recommend for people if they have, you know, they need like stress-free or something?
The whole candle idea came from the fact that I love aromatherapy, and scents sort of bring me back to certain memories of my childhood and happy moments. And so I created this line, I mean, over a couple of years ago, but now I have 16 flavors, which I never thought I would. And the current one that I'm burning in my house right now is Ondansetron, which, you know, is the drug that Brandy was passing out on the boat. So it, you know, everything in life comes full circle.
It really does.
But the drugs are all named after, or the candle scents are all named after drugs, and they all have taglines, because I believe that all things in life should have taglines.
It's true.
So Ondansetron, which is a drug for nausea, as you might have if you're on a boat, the tagline is for upset tummies or expecting mummies.
Oh my God.
Because I had a lot of morning sickness back when I was pregnant.
Oh, so funny. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And we donate the proceeds from the sales of the candles to help victims of domestic violence.
That's amazing. Okay, so do you have one that's like a lavender-y vanilla?
That's it. Lavender vanilla.
Oh, really?
Is on the Dancitron. See, I'm going to have to send you one.
Oh my God, I would love that. Yes, that is like my key go-to candle scent. Like
it smells so good. It's so relaxing. I have to send you one.
Oh my God, I would love that. Thank you, Tiffany. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it. I love that I got to talk with you a little bit about Ithaca and everything that's gone on this season. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. That was so fun.
You're welcome. Anytime. All right, we'll talk to you soon, Tiffany.
Okay, bye.
All right, so let's get into Summer House.
Oh gosh, my Summer House. Okay, before we start talking about Summer House, I just need everybody to be clear. My mother calls me weekly about Summer House and she complains about it. She's like, Giselle, why is this on? Why am I watching this? Why is this on television? I'm like, Mommy, it's not for you. Okay, let's be clear.
You are not the target demo.
And she's like, but she, you know, she watches because she has fallen in love with Hannah. So she's like all in. But yeah, I have to have discussions with my mother about Summer House for the world. I just want to let you guys know.
Should we put her in touch with somebody from like development or like programming, like somebody who can like just like explain to her how it all works?
No, that's
okay. You're like, no, we don't need that.
Well, I really want to focus on the romantic relationships that are happening right now in the house. You know, you have Danielle has her boyfriend there. We have Dez at the house for a little bit. We're sort of watching Paige's relationship fall apart. But
yes,
it's very interesting to me, the whole everyone's take on Dez. And like the focus was really on him. We got to see more of his personality as viewers because we, you know, just in terms of a Bravo fan, we knew nothing about Dez before. We just knew Hannah got engaged very quickly to this guy. So getting to meet him and see what he's about is very interesting. Do we feel like he made enough of an effort with everyone in the house? Should he? Was that like the purpose of him being there?
I have very mixed reviews, or mixed views, I should say, about this. Because I think there was no way for him to win. Meaning, we have Luke over here sulking in the corner, talking trash about Dez at any given second, right? And Dez knew the relationship, obviously, between Hannah and Luke prior to him getting there. So it was kind of like they were having a frat boy fight that amongst themselves, right? And we were all just watching as Dez and Luke were throwing jabs at each other unnecessarily.
Yeah.
It just wasn't even necessary. Like, Dez, you got the girl. You're with the girls.
Right.
So it's like, you know, you won, buddy. But Luke just kind of needed to be cool about it. And I felt like he wasn't.
I'm Hannah's biggest fan and I'm always rooting for her and whoever she's with, and I want her to be happy, but at the same time, I'm wondering if he really likes her, if he's using her because she's so successful and he's a washed up comedian. Sorry, that's so mean.
Yeah, he also just, where's your self-awareness? Because I feel like Hannah, she did such a great job when Sierra came into the house.
Right.
Hannah knew what it would look like if she started trash talking this girl. So she went the opposite way. And like, then as a result, they genuinely became friends.
Yes.
Luke, like, do you not see and hear yourself? Oh, yeah. What are you doing? And you're calling Dez a washed up comedian. Who are you, Luke? Who are you? You had a 30 second role in The Flight Attendant, and now you're just able to talk about everyone else's career?
Yeah, and you make rings or something. I don't know what you do. And I just felt like he was just being so bitter unnecessarily. Like it showed me that, oh, you really do like Hannah. You really do want to be with Hannah. And you don't know how to articulate that, or you're just sitting over here being a bitch boy. Yeah. And it's just like, grow up.
It was a very insightful look into like what Hannah's been dealing with. Cause I do have to say, I was like, all right, Hannah, were you making something out of nothing here this whole time? Because Luke just really doesn't seem interested. And like, he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
But the way his like true feelings sort of came out in this episode, I was like, this is the manipulative shit she's been talking about.
Yes.
It's like when he can't have her, he starts to panic a little.
Yes. Right. So I would have loved, to answer your question, for Dez to have risen to the occasion, won all the ladies over, right? Just been like totally charismatic with them, you know, have drinks with them, all of that, so that all the ladies could have like told Luke to go F himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I think where Des really lost me in the whole thing was when he ordered pizza just for himself and Hannah and took it to the basement. I was like, okay, this would have been a great opportunity
yes.
to win over everyone in the house if you ordered just three more pizza pies, you know, like
yes.
order a stack of pizzas and say, hey guys, you know, I'm leaving today. Or I think it was the next day that he was leaving, you know,
yeah.
I just wanted to say, thank you for letting me stay here. Here's a bunch of pizza, you know, have at it. Like it's the small things. Like you said, Giselle, if he had just won over the ladies a little bit with one of his like stand-up comedy routines, you know, like it's just, it wouldn't take that much effort. Yeah. I don't think, and I understand he might feel intimidated going into the house and might just want to hang with Hannah so that they can have a lot of sex yeah. and all of that. But he had some opportunities and he didn't take them.
That is true. But I did feel like he was a little nervous.
Yeah.
I felt like the cameras are rolling. This was a weird situation. I have this girl. I like her a whole lot. I felt him being nervous. And I get that. Like, you know, people who are thrown into what we do, they kind of don't know how to react and how to respond and what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. So, you know, I like Des. I'm going to stick up for the guy.
Now, because you are friends with so many people in the Bravo universe, are you able to objectively sort of watch their behavior on their shows, do you think? Like, are you able to see Portia and Hannah not as your friends, but like also as, okay, this is like not a great episode for you, or like, here's where you went wrong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I feel like I call her, like Hannah specifically, you know, like she spent the first top of this season crying every freaking episode. And I was like, look, you got one more time to shed a tear and I can't take it anymore. Like buck up, buckaroo.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we definitely can have those honest conversations, but at the same time, you know, we all know being on a reality television show is hard.
Yeah.
Anybody who tells you it's not, they're not doing their job. So I get it. You know, it is an emotional roller coaster. It's not for everybody. You got to have thick skin. I know Portia had a hard season with this whole Strippergate bolo mess and it's tough. And so because I get it, I want to be as supportive as I can be to people that I do feel like are my friends.
Yeah. Hannah has had a hard season. And, you know, even at the end of this week's episode, I found myself like, oh God, Hannah, stop. Like, and I feel it. I feel Paige is the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Where she just is very in a low tone, like, you're all right, Hannah, don't get defensive.
Yes.
Because all Hannah had to say in the moment when everyone was like, your boyfriend didn't make an effort, is to be like, you know what? You guys are right. I haven't seen him in forever. I just wanted to bang him. Yeah. And like, I should have shared him with you. But instead she just took it in a completely wrong way where everyone was attacking him. And I don't think that was the case. I don't think they were saying, we don't like your boyfriend. They were saying, we wish we had gotten to know your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah's still getting to know Des too, to be fair. Like they only just agreed to be exclusive at this trip, like with him being out there. So for her to get so defensive, I understand why, because she's made this decision to have him be her man and they are fully committed now. So it makes sense that she would be defensive, but her friends are only looking out for her. They're just trying to say, hey, this is what we thought, FYI. You know, I mean, we're still getting to know him. We barely got to know him. You're still getting to know him. Like, just give us a minute to express our feelings.
Yes. No, I'm with that. But you know what? She in her defense, she feels like she's got the weight of the house coming at her. Every 5 minutes, the blonde leprechaun is coming for her. And of course, his fiance is going to take, you know, his side. And Luke is saying his shady things. You know, I think she's just feeling like, you know, Lindsay with the whole, you know, we started the season with Lindsay not even inviting her to stuff that they were doing off camera, which is just like rude, right? You invite everybody but Hannah. So I just felt like she, yes, her defenses are up because she's had to be that way in order to maintain her sanity in the house.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's also been 5 weeks of them being together 24/7. Giselle, can you imagine being with your cast 24/7 for 6 weeks?
Hell no. I'd quit. Bravo, be gone. I would just be out of there. Like, there's just no, I told Hannah, I was like, I have absolutely no idea how you all did not kill each other. No idea.
Security.
And I'm like, who's cleaning this damn house? I'm
like, yeah, God.
There's just no way.
Not Hannah.
At a certain point, it's just disgusting.
I have mentioned to Eric that I wonder if Bravo's chat room has played a part in any of the underlying tensions with Hannah and the rest of the people in the house.
Well, to hear Hannah tell it, yeah, it has.
What about for you? Do you feel like, has any of that come your way?
I'm going to say that, you know, the ladies that I know hate me, hated me before chat room.
It's nothing new here,
there's
really.
Nothing new under the sun. But it is nice, to be honest with you, when, because, you know, a lot of the ladies congratulated me when the show was first announced, and they tell me that they watch and they tell me that they love it. And those ladies, Robin, Candace, Ashley, that's about it, it's nice to have that support from the cast. I mean, it can get a little weird. So to know that, you know, they're all in support is nice.
Yeah, that's great. Any last thoughts on Summer House?
I don't want Des to come back to the house. It's just not out. When he left.
Thank you, and goodbye.
When he left, I'm like, okay, cool, right? We all know how it ends in the real world because, you know, they're engaged now and we're excited about that. But I don't think he can win in that house.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think he's setting himself up for disaster.
Yeah.
And plus, they're kind of gross when they're together in the house. You know, there's just a whole lot of making out.
And other things all over other people's bathrooms.
Yeah. I felt like they've got to be kidding. This is not really happening. But, you know, maybe it did. In my mind, I'm telling myself she didn't do that.
I don't know.
The sounds pointed to yes, they did.
I will say my final thought on Summer House, because I didn't want to make this my rose this week, but Amanda's derby look was fire. She looked so good. I love that color dress, the hat, the whole thing.
Yes, beautiful.
I to be honest with you, I loved all of them. I felt like they nailed it. As I was watching it, I was like, why the hell haven't we done this? I mean, it was just like, they so nailed it. I love Sierra. You know, she was kind of like more conservative with it, but I just thought she looked so pretty because we never see them dress up like that. They're always wearing those stupid wigs and
yeah, the mullet wigs.
I felt like they all just nailed it and they look great.
Yeah, it was a fun party.
And I love how they have all these theme parties and they're in the house and they don't go anywhere.
Right.
But because of COVID, they're like in the house with the theme parties. They've really been creative. You know, they had to with just the restrictions of COVID. And I can say about Carl, I do want to talk about him for a second. I have loved to see this side of him and to see his growth because I believe I binged. That's right. When I met Hannah, she kept talking about Summer House. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, you know what, Hannah? Over the holidays, I'm binge watching the whole freaking series. And she was like, okay, cool. So to see Carl now, because I kind of thought he was a jerk a couple seasons ago, I love this guy. And I'm rooting.
Yeah, Carl 5.0. We love him.
Yep. Yep.
Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, Megan, what was your rose?
All right, so my rose is going to be Cam's husband, Court, from Real Housewives of Dallas, because I think he's actually a very underrated husband in that he is so sweet, so supportive of Cam, and just very funny. And when Cam brought in a pet medium to their house, the look on his face when he saw all the candles going and he saw the woman close her eyes and do a little prayer and he goes, is this a seance? He had no idea what he was walking into. And I just think he's a great husband. Love Court.
Oh my God. I think you have a little crush on Court because this is the second time you've made him your rose in the last couple of weeks.
He's very funny. He makes me lol.
Okay,
it's just so funny because he's like, not really your type, but I think something's brewing there, Megan. I'm into it.
Eric, he has money, so he's absolutely my type.
He just bought Cam a dream house. So yeah. Okay, so my rose this week is from Married to Medicine, and it is Simone and Jackie finally making up because I've been waiting for it for so long. I got chills during their conversation. They both got so emotional, and it just made me so happy to see the two of them just come to terms with what they've been going through and move forward. It's just what I've been waiting for.
I just knew that I had to be there to hold my friend, to lift her up, to make her laugh. Simone was that girl who could come in and make sure I was okay at work and had put the word out around the hospital if I needed her. So again, it's just not the kind of person you can replace.
And I just always wanted to be there for my friend, no matter how scared she was or how scared I was for her.
Love that. Love that. Okay. Mine is going to be a little weird because I can't even remember the guy's name, but Lindsay's boyfriend.
Oh, Stravi.
Oh, Stravi. Steve. Yeah.
Came through. Yeah. Okay. And won her back. Now, we know this is short-lived, but I have to give him like credit for like even the effort and knowing or feeling like, you know what, this is how I feel and I'm going after it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think we should celebrate it while we can, you know, because like you said, it's not going to last.
Yes, yes. And I blame her for it.
Sorry, Lindsay.
Yes. Okay. Love you, but not really. Yeah, that's how I feel about Lindsay.
Megan, what was your thorn?
Okay, so my thorn is from Below Deck Sailing Yacht. And for those who have been watching and are enjoying, I feel like we can agree that Sydney's behavior is just the embodiment of low self-esteem in that she drunkenly crawled into her boss's bed. And as he says, I want to have sex with Allie, she goes, yeah, but Allie doesn't want to have sex with you, and just holds him tighter. And it's like, oh, Sydney, no, love yourself more. Like, come on.
What's
going?
Nothing.
What the
f-
is going on?
I was told to come here, so I did.
By who?
By Allie, to be honest with you.
Okay. I'm a dick as he is.
Yes, yes, I know. But she doesn't want to f*** you, so you should give up on that.
That was rough. Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't her boss's bed, it's just like, man, no.
What was your thorn?
My thorn is from Real Housewives of Dallas, and it is Carrie throwing that salsa or tomato juice or whatever it was all over Tiffany and Cam's bed as retaliation for the fart bombs. I'm sorry, but like ruining someone's bed sheets is not equal to lighting off like a 30-second fart bomb in somebody's room. It's just like those don't compare. You know, that's not a prank. That's just cruel.
Agreed. Agreed. I didn't even see it. And I say agreed to that. Yes.
Oh, Giselle, you would not have been happy with it if it were you in that situation.
Yes. No, I can't imagine. Okay, so mine is a little bit more personal. Saturday, I got my first vaccine shot.
Oh,
congrats.
Thank you. So you would think that that's a rose, huh? But it knocked me on my behind. I was totally out. It was my first one, and I was told by the world that, oh, your arm will hurt a little bit and you'll be fine. No, I had chills, fever, headache. I was foggy. I didn't know what the hell was going on. Okay, I might have had drinks that night after I got the shot. That's not the point of the story, okay? It totally knocked me out, and I was angry with any reporter that said that I wouldn't be. But I am totally fine now. So I actually, this is a thorn rose.
Right. It's the whole flower.
It's a combo. It's a combo deal. Yes.
Now, did you do just the one dose, or do you have a second one that you have to get now too?
I have a second one coming that I'm totally not looking forward to, but at least I
know to expect
not to have drinks.
Right.
Yeah. And I won't have drinks that night. I'm clear.
Oh God. I was right with you on Saturday because I got the one dose.
Uh-huh.
So I was feeling so terrible this weekend and then woke up to the news that, you know, they're putting a pause on it. So that doesn't feel totally great, but you know what? Hopefully.
It is what it is.
It's fine.
We're fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yes. Well, I mean, we're moving, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Giselle, yeah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. You guys know where to find me if you ever need me again.
Absolutely. Yes. And
yes. And we're going to keep watching you on Bravo's chat room.
Thank you. Thank you. The show is like the little engine that could, you know, we started out, we didn't know what was going to happen. And now we're just like here laughing every week, having a good old time.
And hopefully, you know, allegedly, supposedly, we'll just like see you again soon somewhere.
Yes, indeed. So hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later.
Agreed. Thanks, Giselle. Yes. And we'll be back with an all new episode next week, but stay tuned for a bonus episode with a Bravo exec where we talk all about this season of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus. Explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries, and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuge, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.